if humans are the apex of the world, why is it that out of all animals that have changed throughout millions of years, humans have, let's say, like, I don't know, it's only recently that we've been experiencing the joys of, I don't know, evolution, biology? How do you explain it? Humans haven't been around long compared to one creature. Welcome back to the Maybe Podcast, where today we're discussing if man was created in God's image, why is the horseshoe crab older than we will ever be? Anyway. Throughout history, there has been evidence of a number of creatures, big and small, you know, with subspecies after subspecies, animals that basically go way back, right? And you'll have their ancestors looking similar, but completely different to their current counterpart. The only character, the only creature who seems to be completely immune to this phenomenon is the horseshoe crab. Let me explain something. Earth has been around. The Milky Way has done two spins in its entirety of existence, as far as we've known, right? The recorded history. Two spins, because everyone knows Earth spins in every day, right? The sun goes all the way around it. That's what a day is. But 365 of those is 1 year, and that 1 year, it goes around the galaxy. I think I got that wrong. Hang on. Yeah, I'm fucking stupid. I got that wrong. I meant to talk about galactic years, which are different, right? Okay, 1 year on Earth is the sun spinning around us, or we spin in a circle and the sun covers us from end to end. You know, that's how it is. It's a full cycle, 24 hours. Now, a galactic year is around 220 million years. It is the Milky Way galaxy spinning once. It's a massive fucking difference, right? We're talking about a tiny ball, a tiny speck of dust in a universe, right? That's what we are. Horseshoe crabs have been around long enough to see two galactic years. Two, okay? That's a lot. That's a lot of fucking years. And the reason we know this is because of carbon dating, fossils found back then. They never evolved. They have reached their purest form. Horseshoe crabs will never evolve because they've reached the point of maximum, I guess. I don't know how that works. Yes, this episode's late. I've been doing a deep dive. A deep dive in what? Horseshoe crabs, because why the fuck? Like, okay, I don't get it. Here's the reason it's such a head scratcher, is because every animal, every single animal you've ever seen, yourself included, changes over time. So why the fuck is a horseshoe crab not doing that? I've never seen one dead, by the way. Okay, that just scared me. Isn't that weird? How a simple horseshoe crab you could find on the side of the beach has evolved so perfectly that you'll never be him. You'll never be him, you know? According to archaeologists, horseshoe crabs have been around since the Triassic period. But the thing is, they always just kind of look like that. The Triassic period, okay, that's pretty fucking long ago. You ever seen fucking Jurassic Park? There you go. Could you imagine if one of your great ancestors lived on Pangaea and essentially watched the Earth scatter and spread landmasses, right? This is what we have here. We have, keep in mind, remember this, okay? Because Pangaea existed millions of years ago, and essentially all of the landmass on Earth was just one big island, one massive landmass. That's all it was. And it slowly spread over time, very slowly, right? How long ago? Have you ever seen a rock move? Me neither. On its own. Well, the tectonic plates, it's a whole deal, right? Basically, Earth slowly moves, okay? It's not stationary. Got a whole bunch of magma underneath doing a whole bunch of movement. But the thing is, they've been riding the wave. Horseshoe crabs really have just been kind of sitting there, not doing much of anything. And since the Triassic period look almost identical to what they currently look like, they are literally living fossils. And it's funny because that's kind of it's a cute title that archaeologists give them. The world's greatest arthropod, basically. And they're not really true arthropods. They're more closely related to spiders. And it's more terrifying thinking about the fact that a spider is essentially the perfect form of creature. It's weird. It's weird seeing them, okay? Not seeing them because of, Jesus, man. Horseshoe crabs are scary. Listen, I'm only saying that because of... How do you do that? I mean, you really don't need to evolve any more than you already did, right? Horseshoe crabs are basically walking bodies of armor. And their internal organs all work. They have eyes. They have the horseshoe shape. The horseshoe crab is essentially God, basically. Not God. You know what? You know what it is? Adam from the Bible. Adam and Eve. Adam was a horseshoe crab. How do we know God didn't look like a horseshoe crab? I am going to hell, dude. I'm going to hell. Probably. Oh, well. It's such a weird topic, dude. It's such a weird topic. Okay. I need to move on because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about now. At this point, I'm just thinking horseshoe crabs are cool. And it's forever been a meme on the internet. I'm talking about more permanent memes now. I'm saying this because me being around since Facebook was still just worth millions of dollars instead of billions, you kind of see the evolution of memes from back then. I'm talking boomer humor to Gen Z to modern day. And what I noticed back then is even back then people were saying, how do you have horseshoe crabs that, you know, existed for this long and they don't look any different? All of their fossils look exactly identical. It's kind of cool. Creepy, but cool. Just the fact that these things just never evolved. There are very few examples of this. In fact, I think there's almost no examples of this. Walking fossils are a direct and accurate term for something like this. So, what exactly... Like, why haven't they changed? That's the real question. I have a few theories, but let me do some research before I go any further. Essentially, the TikTok that I had first seen that introduced me to the idea of the horseshoe crab, at least recently, was this one that said, you know, they've seen two galactic years, which is, again, 225 million years, Earth years. The earliest, the modern horseshoe crab that we have seen is first came out 250 million years ago, but they have an ancestor from even further back, 445 million years ago. Xiphosaurans. What a weird name. The horseshoe crab ancestor, basically. Now, why is it kind of cool? Because it's cool. That's it. Imagine something so old, it cannot get older. Basically, that's what's going on, right? Anyway, let's see here. I'm going to read a little bit from the... God, all of these words are hard to read. Okay, you're going to hear me read and butcher this Wikipedia article. Horseshoe crabs resemble crustaceans, but belong to a separate subphylum of arthropods. Arthropods. Chelicerata. Horseshoe crabs are closely related to the extinct Eurypterids, or sea scorpions, which include some of the largest arthropods to have ever existed, and the two may be sister groups. The difficult to classify chasmatospidids, are also thought to be closely related to the horseshoe crab. Dog, I fucked that up. I fucked that up so bad. Here's something I didn't know about horseshoe crabs, okay? They are more than capable of swimming. They just choose not to. Horseshoe crabs will always stay on the bottom of the ocean, eating on worms, mollusks, and whatever comes into their mouths. You know, small stuff on the ground. I think the reason that they haven't evolved is because realistically, what do you need down there? At the bottom of the ocean, it's very high pressure, there's no sunlight, and you got a bunch of tiny bugs everywhere, basically eating whatever scraps fall on the bottom of the ocean, and there are millions of pieces of scraps. That's why shrimp are so numerous, and krill, plankton, you know, all kinds of amoebas, stuff down there underwater that survives in the high pressures and the darkness, but can also still eat. Imagine such a simple life, you know? Like, so simple that you don't need to evolve. That's basically what's going on there. Horseshoe crabs, however, can swim. And it is so funny seeing them swim, because you're telling me the apex of evolution is a horseshoe that turns over on its back and just starts flapping wildly. It's just weird, man. Their swimming position is basically to flip over and to flap downwards. You ever swam backwards, doggy style? That's basically how they swim. And they've been doing that for 400 million years. So imagine if one day you're doing doggy paddles in the ocean and you, because of that one movement, you become the greatest fucking evolutionary mystic the world has ever seen. That's weird. That's the horseshoe crap, I guess. They're strange, okay? It's like, I think the only thing I can compare it to is when someone has like a solitary life out in the, like they're living out in a nomadic lifestyle, or they're living out in like the countryside where they're farming and subsisting. And they do that their entire lives, where it's like, yeah, that's the peak. You have a home, you have firewood, you have your own house to raise kids, to go hunting, you know, that very old-fashioned traditional lifestyle, the one that people wish to go back to sometimes when their modern life is too much, when they're overstimulated, you know. What the hell am I talking about? Am I really comparing horseshoe crabs to people who want to live in caves? Not caves, cabins in the woods? Yes, I am. Kind of. I mean, it's pretty similar, that's for sure. I've read recently that, I mean, since... Oh, shit. I stepped on a painting. Since they've been around for millions of years, let's see. Some parts of East and Southeast Asia have begun eating them. The thing is, right? They don't have much meat. So they're considered a delicacy. Kind of like it's a treat. You can have a little bit. But I don't know why it was funny to me how when they have babies, they're basically already adults, just small. And at some point, they reach a size where they just physically can't get any bigger, but their babies are so cute. I mean, it's just tiny, tiny horseshoe crabs. That's it. And they're basically the size of like a pinto bean, basically. So imagine that growing into the size of a massive boulder you found in your backyard. And you can eat it. That's it. And there's not a lot of meat in it, but there's some, you know. It's mostly shell. That's what's wild about it. To me, the interesting thing about the horseshoe crab is the fact that it's mostly bone. You know, it's like an exoskeleton, very little meat inside, but there's something there. There's something there, is what I'm saying, right? So if humans had the same build, it would basically be no bones on the inside, and our outside would be... We wouldn't be as flexible, that's for sure. But we would have an incredibly strong exoskeleton, and we'd be stronger, I guess. Mating is definitely harder for a horseshoe crab than any other creature, because of, I don't know, it's just, they have to chip away the shell when they're mating. They leave scars. That's, you know, they've mated before. So, I don't know, it sounds painful. It sounds really painful. Also, the male has to cling on to the female. And the female has to go about her day like nothing's happening. Meanwhile, the guy's in the back busting a nut. But, I mean, horseshoe crabs. I think the beauty of the horseshoe crab is that in their evolution, and in humanity's creepy obsession with immortality, we've decided that we should test them as medicine. Maybe we can get some of those side effects that they have. What we have found isn't immortality per se, but it definitely helped us live longer. The horseshoe crab, right? Their blood contains cells known as amebocytes. They play similar roles to white blood cells of vertebrates in defending the organism against pathogens. Oh, my stomach. From Wikipedia, amebocytes. Oh, there we go. Amebocytes from the blood of Limulus polyphemus are used to make Limulus amebocyte. Fuck off. LAL, that's what it's called. Which is used for the detection of bacterial endotoxins in medical applications. There's a high demand for blood, the harvest of which involves collecting the animals, bleeding them, and then releasing them back into the sea. Most of the animals survive the process. Mortality is correlated with blood, with both the amount of blood extracted from an individual animal and the stress experienced during handling and transportation. So you gotta be careful with them, they're delicate. Estimates of mortality rates following blood harvest vary from 3% to 15%. Approximately 500,000 Limulus are harvested annually for this purpose. Lamellus is the horseshoe crab. Bleeding may prevent female horseshoe crabs from being able to spawn or decrease the number of eggs that they can lay. According to the biomedical industry, up to 30% of an individual's blood is removed. That's a lot of blood. NPR disagrees with this claim, however, reporting that it can deplete them of more than half of their volume of blue blood. I didn't know their blood was blue. That's kind of cool. The horseshoe crab spend between 1 and 3 days away from the ocean before being returned. As long as the gills stay moist, they can survive on land for 4 days. Some scientists are skeptical that certain companies return their horseshoe crabs to the ocean at all, instead suspecting them of selling the horseshoe crabs as fishing bait, which is fucking brutal. That's fucking brutal. Imagine bleeding them, using them as medicine, and then chopping them into bits and using them to as fishing bait. Like, I get it. A guy's got to make money, and every country has a different level of ethics and morals when it comes to treating animals. But not the immortal horseshoe crab. Come on, man. These guys have been around forever. You're going to come around, walks in on their ground, and just be like, yeah, this is... It's all me, man. It's all me. You know, at least eat the thing. At least eat it, okay? I know all horseshoe crabs are different. Horseshoe crabs actually have a variety of subspecies. They look exactly the same, but some of them have edible eggs, and others do not. Some of them will cause red tide poisoning and are endotoxin, some sort of thing, right? Some sort of toxin that kills you if you eat it. Toxoplasmosis, there we go. I couldn't think of the word. I went to Marshall's today. I got some really good sweets. You go to Marshall's, just go to the back. They got cool food. Anyway, some of the eggs are edible, some are not. I wouldn't risk it. Just don't eat the eggs. From what I read, the meat is far more popular. But if you're anything like me, you realize that they have a lot more use in medical practices, where 500,000 of them are harvested, but you know, only 5% or 5 to 15 die, which is still a big number. Don't get me wrong. 15% of 500,000, what is that? Let me do some math. 500,000 times. We said 15%, right? Okay. That's 7,500 deaths. But, you know, medicine and whatnot. Look, I'm just saying, medicine and animals don't have the best history together. You've seen the logo on shit that says never tested on animals. Where do you think that came from? You know, medicine is a dark history, okay? Really dark. Actually, now that I think about it, we are not getting into that. For those paying attention, you might find this part interesting. COVID-19 directly correlated with the rise of using the horseshoe crab's blood. Because the thing is, they can be used for vaccine research. And the thing is, vaccine research and development during the COVID-19 pandemic added additional strain on the American horseshoe crab. Let's see here. In December 2019, a report on the U.S. Senate, which encountered the Food and Drug Administration, established a process for evaluating alternative pyrogenicity tests and report back to the Senate on steps taken to increase their use. PETA backed the report. So, that's good, you know. They saw that the... You know, they were in need. So essentially, all that vaccine research, they had to keep doing the research on the horseshoe crabs. Whenever there is a need for a new vaccine, horseshoe crabs will be used not as a primary resort, but as a last resort, kind of. Mainly due to the fact that COVID-19 became a pandemic, right? We're not going to use them for just anything. The reason being is because they're actually on the decline. The horseshoe crab draining their blood, we don't need to do that anymore. We've done it for so many times. We just have all this blood lying around, and they found a way to recreate it in a lab. Having said that, pandemics, you know, they come around every now and then. Look, I don't know about people and their beliefs and stuff, but all I remember is that COVID was the worst thing that ever happened, I think, to the world, where a disease got that strong. You know what I mean? Like, it was pretty fucking powerful. A lot of the times, there have been diseases throughout the years where I think like every few years you'll hear a disease and it's just not as strong. They'll hype it up, but it's not as strong. And then COVID happened, and because of the boy who cried wolf mentality that a lot of Americans have, they didn't take it seriously. They were like, hey, you lied to us before, you're doing it again. And then this time it was the CDC was involved. They were like, no, we're serious. Seriously, stop it. They're being genuine. This is a way you don't lie to the public, man. Just don't lie to them. It's fucked up. Anyway, horseshoe crabs. They're cool. That's it. I'm hearing tapping. What's going on? But since we're nearing the end of the podcast episode, I think there's a reason that I should mention that horseshoe crabs are the topic of this podcast. Well, since way before 2010, I would say since humans started eating them, horseshoe crabs are on the decline. Dramatically on the decline. They become a delicacy in southeastern countries and a lot of places where they're just eating them en masse, gobbling them up en masse, and their eggs. The problem is, we're going to have another issue where it's going to be fucking the same bullshit over and over again. Overfeeding, you know, overeating them, just destroying their... Humans are a fucking plague, dude. Like, I'm not even sugarcoating when I say this. They'd survived for... fucking close to 500 million years, and humans did them in. You know? How much bullshit... You know, how much fucking bullshit do humans have to do? You know? Like, I don't know, man. We don't deserve Earth, you know, Mother Nature. You know, if you guys want to know why I'm passionate about creatures, it's just because they're helpless. They can't do anything about it. Humans really are the most overpowered apex predator. Having said that, humans now have a fucking a rival, basically. You think humans are the top of the food chain. In reality, we're battling it out with another creature, the polar bear. The polar bear has always been one of those creatures that, evolutionarily speaking, we should fear, right? I know we have guns and everything right now. But what you must understand is polar bears are some of the most biggest fucking destructive creatures to a human, right? Think of it this way. If you're in wherever they exist, you're going to need a gun with you whether you want to or not, whether you're pro or anti-gun. Polar bears don't fuck around. They're cute, sure. Don't get me wrong. They're adorable creatures, and I would boop one in the nose given any chance. But polar bears do not see you the same way. Polar bears are bloodlusting creatures that will see a human and will think a free meal. Okay? And that's not an exaggeration. There have been a number of people on oil rigs, research centers up there, up north, in the Great White North, anywhere where polar bears are anywhere to be found. They don't care. They will eat you in the most terrifying way possible. Polar bears do this thing where they'll look at a human, and if they have access to it and they can touch a human, lights out. It's as simple as that. Say goodnight. Basically, a polar bear cannot be fought back. Bear mace barely works on them. Yeah, it'll work for a bit, but like, I wouldn't bet your bottom dollar on that. You need a shotgun or bigger. Or bigger, when talking about a shotgun, is a bit heavy, okay? Polar bears are not small. On average, they're 12 feet tall. I remember being a kid, I was fascinated with them, because we lived in LA. And we had a lot of access to the zoos, and we would always see these big big things where you stand next to them. It's like polar bears reach this height, and they're like stupidly tall. And imagine something that big. Imagine a 12-foot-tall white giant whose sole purpose is to kill you, basically. On top of that, you're in a terrain where they blend in, so it's pretty bad. Polar bear hairs are clear, by the way. They're not white. They're clear. It's just the fact that they're in the snow. Oh my god. Polar bears are scary, dude. I don't think humans get the whole polar bear thing. Like, how creepy it is. Just the fact that there's something this big that will walk up to a human and give it a good smell. And right then and there, taste test, there you go. And lo and behold, their jaws are powerful enough to just turn your skull into dust. You know? Look, nature is cool, but it can be fucking terrifying. Hey, I had this discussion with a coworker the other day. There's something that... Okay, here's the thing, right? I had always had this thought process. And when I tell you that he was absolutely floored, let me tell you, he was floored. Okay? Like, he stopped for a second, for a brief second to really think about it, okay? Listen, okay. Let me discuss fear real quick. The fear of the dark. Fear of the dark is natural in humans because we don't see what's out there. You know, we have this, you know, we grew up, we evolved primordial, where if there's something in the darkness we can't see, it might jump out and get us. Okay, there's danger in the dark. Okay, that makes sense. Fear of heights. Back then, when we were traveling around, any tall structure, any cliff that we fall down is an instant death. You know, is a really bad, painful time for anyone. So you were taught, okay, try to avoid high areas if you can. Okay, so there are reasons for fears, right? There are logical reasons for fears. Fear of abandonment, you know, fear of being alone. Well, back then we were hunter-gatherers, and when you got abandoned by your tribe, you know, you were basically on your own fighting the wilderness all by yourself, and it's the worst, the hardest thing you could possibly deal with. So there's legitimate reason for all these fears. They're inert, you know, not inert. They're in your DNA, these fears, these worries, these anxieties. And fear of loud noises as well, right? Here's the one that I had. Loud noises tend to follow a really sudden movement or a roar of some kind, or thunder hitting the ground and causing a spark and a fire, or, you know, instantly just vaporizing somebody. Again, more evidence to back up my claim, right? There's legitimate reasons for fears. It's all biological. It's all evolutionary. Here is the part that fucked me up. There is a fear of the uncanny. There is a fear of people that don't quite look like people. What the fuck caused that? Evolutionarily speaking, our ancestors had to deal with something that looked human but was not. So, what was it? You see what I mean? Like, there's legitimate reasons for everything else, but what the fuck was that? Anyway, I had this thought, right? And it really fucked with him, right? It blew his mind even. But when I tell you, he was sitting there in silence thinking, oh shit, what was it? You know, like they were terrified. Well, I hate to say it, but that's where the discussion stopped with him. But it won't stop there with you guys. I am going to tell you right now, I found the answer. And I'm quite happy about that. When you are sick, you tend to look different. When there's something wrong with somebody, you know, mentally or medically of any kind, they tend to have a different appearance. And think of people like who were in the bubonic plague, that they'd be getting thinner, so the shape of their face changes. You see more of their bones, less of their fats. So, evolutionarily speaking, you think something is wrong with this person. You don't know it's medical, but you know something's wrong with them. They don't quite look the same. So that's where the uncanny valley fear comes from. I just thought of this, and I thought I'd share it with you guys. I thought it was an interesting thought process. Damn, it's kind of cool. Read a book. I know you're listening to this podcast, but wherever you're at, read a book. Buy books, start reading them. Knowledge is power, and sometimes just talking about shit is cool. What I like to do is, I have this thing. It's the scientific process, the thought that I learned when I was a kid. Again, as a teenager, I guess, again, as an adult in college, and now I'm doing it on my own. I'm not in school or anything, but I like the thought of think of a question and then find an answer to it, you know? There it is. There's a scientific process. It's as simple as that. Do it with, you know, do it on your own. Sometimes you can Google stuff and it'll be easily found. Other times you can't. Other times you cannot. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Meatweed Podcast. Next week, I will be on again. This week, I know it was a bit late, but you got to understand, busy man, busy, busy man. On top of that, I have, you know what? I have some news. A sneak peek for those who listen to the podcast. I do have something coming up. My YouTube videos have been popping off more. I'm sorry to say, I'm more focused on that now. Okay. The podcast is great. I love it. It's gotten me sponsorships in the past and people listen to it. I love that. Okay. I really appreciate you all for listening, but I got to tell you this right now. I am more focused on YouTube now than the podcast, because the podcast is easy. We got to understand about the podcast. It's me and a microphone in a room. That's it. Super easy. Can be done in 30 minutes and I'm done, right? And then I upload it and then you guys have something to listen to in that week. The YouTube videos take far more effort. Far more effort. I could release one a month max because they're a lot of work, you know? And I don't want to use my days off to just do YouTube, you know? I'm passionate about this stuff, but I'm even more passionate about my relationship and how much I love my family. You know, I like that, you know? If I sound tired right now, I actually am. I My energy drink wore off. Help. Anyway, I'll see you guys next week. I am going to drink some tea because I think I could use it. My throat's... Yeah. Sorry about that. My throat's a little dry. See you guys next week.